You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey guys, it's Grant Paulson. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We're changing things up. We're going to be making the show available for you 1 hour at a time. So if you're looking for a specific part of the hour of a show, look below at the description of what we've been talking about for time cues.
It's Danny. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you live on the radio from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays on 106.7 The Fan.
For the record, if this office place is a microcosm of the United States, The Rock would win the presidency. Because we just spent 5 minutes talking about this during the break. He's got some voters at 106.7 The Fan. Could he actually win?
Yeah.
If he ran for president?
Yeah.
I was just convinced that he could.
I mean, we're one step away from like American Idol style voting where press one
right.
for this person.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, where are we going with this? What a show. Grant and Danny on The Fan. It is time for your Beltway Blitz. Every day at noon, we give you a glimpse of some of the teams in town you care the most about, get you some inside info from the locker room. Let's do it. Chris Russell on the Skins. Chris, give us the name of a player you want to put under the microscope and evaluate. Get some more run in these final three games.
I would say, I'm really interested in seeing more out of Preston Smith. Got off to such a great start this year. Kind of, I don't know. I don't feel like he's been a major factor. I might be missing something. Maybe I'm a little tapped out as well. But Preston Smith is a big, big, big key moving forward because he's going into year four of his NFL career next year, and his rookie contract will, be coming up. It's not like Junior Gallette's not coming back, I don't think. And Trent Murphy is obviously a big question mark for not only the injury, but for whether his performance was artificially inflated. So to me, Preston Smith is among the guys that are coming back that I want to see more from out of these last three games.
What do you get the sense that this regime is panicking? And I don't mean Jay Gruden. I mean like up top where they see these television ratings that are disastrously low, where they got beat by two other games that had nothing to do with Washington, D.C. They're lower than baseball playoff games, which is unheard of for the NFL. You're talking about attendance, general apathy setting in. Could you see something extreme almost regardless of what happens here over these last three games?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because the optics are going to be bad no matter what, whether they win these two home games or not. And let's face it. That final game at the Giants might be important for, various other reasons, but let's just focus on what we have in front of us. The optics are going to be terrible on Sunday. They're going to be even worse next Sunday against Denver on Christmas Eve. And if they're getting blown out or if they're getting annihilated or if it's 3-3 midway through the second quarter, it's going to be a lot of boos. It's going to be a lot of empty seats. If there's snow, there might be snowballs and there might be, some of the optics that we've seen before. And I can tell you, from being in that building for 5 years and being around powerful people in that organization, they absolutely abhor the thought of that stadium being half empty, because it's not that they care about the tickets. That's sold already. It's they care about the beer and the hot dogs and the merchandise and everything and the parking and everything else that they're not getting by people being in the building.
Chris, Trent Williams is playing an unbelievable left tackle on one leg. He's probably still the best left tackle in football. I posted a video yesterday someone had put on Twitter of him throwing Joey Bosa to the ground like he was a four-year-old. What a season for this guy. What a gamer, team captain. How can you not love Trent Williams?
No, of course. I mean, and you and I have covered him since the day he walked in the door, Grant. And, we all knew he was going to be good. We all knew he was going to be special. I don't know how many of us thought he would be this special. I mean, obviously, he's had a couple of transgressions off the field in terms of, the stuff you can't do and a couple of suspensions, but he's been a warrior. He's been, essentially, the fans' guy, the people's champ. You guys were talking about The Rock being going from the people's champion to the people's president. Well, Trent Williams is like the fans' dude, like the warrior that you just count on almost every week, fighting and gutting through injuries and being really damn good at his job.
Russell, thank you, buddy, as always, dude. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach.
We'll see you, pal. Let's talk Wizards, please, Tommy. Our buddy Todd Dybas covers the Wizards and pretty much everybody else for the Washington Times. Todd, they won last night. That's good. But they still haven't looked very good here of late, talking about the Wizards with or without John Wall. A lot of guys that they're going to need if they're going to get to where we hope they can go, that's maybe beating a Boston, beating a Cleveland, or getting to that conference final. They don't look like a conference final team to me. They barely look like a playoff team here lately to me. What's going on?
Yeah, it's been a weird slog, even by Wizards standards. At this point, they're 10-5 against teams with a 500 or better record, and they're 5-8 against teams with losing records. Bradley Beal and John Wall both had difficulty explaining why that is. They shake their head, and they're certainly frustrated about that. But every time it seems like the team just starts to get going, like when they won 4 in a row a couple weeks back, then they kind of flop right afterward. And the injuries certainly haven't helped. Obviously, Markieff Morris to start the season, John Wall more recently. They had bad bench play early. It's been better, but then the starters haven't been so great lately. So certainly all the hallmarks of a 500 team where you don't put everything together at once.
How did Wall look in his 28 minutes in his return last night?
Yeah, I thought he looked fine. I thought he was picking his spots early on. Then we saw him come up with one of his patented left-hand dunks. That was a good sign. And then he had a pin. Chandler Parsons tried to go baseline and jam it, and Wall came down and pinned it on the glass.
That was awesome.
Made it pretty clear to me that he was feeling fine and his knees didn't hurt at all. He'll be good. I think by the time Sunday rolls around and Cleveland comes in, he'll be back up to his normal minutes, you know, in the mid-30s. And hopefully Sunday night we have a interesting game.
Todd, a lot of great from Bradley Beal this year. Career high in shot attempts, career high points at this point, rebounds, assists, et cetera. Career low three-point percentage, just kind of a weird fluky thing, or what are you seeing there? Is it teams are trying to take that away more? Because I'm confused as to why a guy that's just so buckets is shooting a career worst from three through now almost 30 games.
Yeah, I think two things. One, to your point, they're focused on taking that away. And two, he's just seeing another defender all the time. West Coast swing, we saw a lot of teams decide to finally blitz him on the pick and roll. They want him to get rid of the ball, or they're just like pushing him very high. So he's coming two dribbles, trying to evade that, and sometimes that leads to his threes. Also, John Wall's brief absence takes away kind of those easy trail threes that often get Beal going. You know, John will push it on the break, and Bradley's at the top around the wing, and it's just a wide open three for him to get him started. So I think it's a combination of things, Danny. I think it's kind of fluky. I think it's what other teams are doing. And I think it's the mild absence of John Wall early on.
Todd Dybas, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate you.
Thanks, Charles.
See you,
check him out in the Washington Times. Let's talk some puck. Steve Wino of the Associated Press covers the Caps. They are in Boston at the Bruins this week. This is a team that's hot. 9 of their last 12, they're playing pretty good hockey. Had 5 goals from 5 different scorers against the Avalanche when we last saw them on Tuesday night. Swino, what's going right with the Caps?
Look, just about everything right now. And it started with when Barry Trotz put Alex Ovechkin and Nicklas Backstrom back together. And that union's worked out so well. And Tom Wilson playing with them clicked very well. But it's the secondary scoring that this team lacked early in the season and during stretches that is finally there. The defense is kind of coalescing a little bit, but when you have the depth of scoring from the Lars Eller line, from the Jay Beagle line, that's what made the Capitals so good last season, and it's what's keeping them so good this year.
Swanos, TJ Oshie's status, update us.
Skating, took part in the morning skate the other day at home, not on the trip to Boston, has a possibility of practicing with the team tomorrow. Earliest he can play is Saturday against the Ducks, but it wouldn't be surprising given where the season is at if the Capitals hold off and have him play on the road trip when they go to Arizona and Dallas.
Swanna, so as we go forward here, some of these young, it's about the stars. Kuznetsov's playing great, so is Ovi, Backstrom, etc. Who are some of the young guys that you could see growing into larger roles as the season progresses, a la Kuznetsov a couple years ago or Burakovsky and the like? Who are some of the young guys you could see not only just sort of stepping in, but even stepping up, getting into January, February, March?
Look, it's Jacob Vrana, and he's already on pace for a 20-goal season. This is a kid who really hadn't taken advantage of his opportunities in previous seasons. He was a healthy scratch in the American Hockey League last year. Now he's having an excellent rookie year. He's been great. Madison Bowie, a young defenseman who certainly is going through some growing pains at times, but is already a much better player than when he made his NHL debut. with Matt Niskanen's injury. Madison Bowie's probably going to have to be a top four defenseman for this team moving forward if John Carlson isn't back. But Bowie and Vrana are the two guys the Capitals are counting on. And guys like Chandler Stephenson and Christian Juice are going to see bigger roles as the season goes on, too.
What do we need to know about the Bruins tonight?
We know them. They just put Matt Beleski on waivers at noon. He hasn't been playing for them. Tuukka Rask and Anton Kudobin have been splitting the duties in goal for the Bruins. Not sure who's going to start in goal for them. But this is a Bruins team that's playing in kind of a weak division in the Atlantic. And you're counting on guys like David Pastrnak, David Krejci, and Patrice Bergeron, and a lot of younger guys we haven't heard of, the Frank Vetranos of the world and those kind of guys, in addition to Zdeno Chara, who's still playing close to age 40.
Steven, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate the time, dude. Have a good one.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
That is your Beltway Blitz on the Wizards after a win last night. The Caps looking for another one tonight, and the Redskins as they get ready for the Cardinals. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Speaking of the Skins, we'll get you a stock report. Bunch of arrows trending down in Ashburn.
Yeah.
Couple that we need to celebrate that are moving up as well. You're listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Bottom of the hour, a little less than 15 minutes from now. I have been accused of making a bunch of people at the station sick. That's the only way I can explain it. I'm supposedly patient zero.
Mm.
I supposedly got people ill. That is not what happened, in my opinion. I will defend myself. I was taken to task on Twitter last evening by, among others, Tom Daly, Brendan Dar, and one Chris Klingbach. You know him as Blue Shorts. So we'll have a little hearing, as we like to do occasionally on this show. I will try to make it known that I was not patient zero, that I am being accused of something I didn't do.
I don't know who is patient zero. I just know that a lot of attention was paid to it last night. And I don't know who appointed Blue Short special counsel. I don't know who made him.
He was in on this.
The Mueller investigation.
No, he's lead investigator.
Wait, by whose authority? His?
I believe it's his authority.
Did Mike Gartell grant this through some sort of podcast email I didn't get?
This is a 106.7 The Fan issue. He is the head writer of 106.7 The Fan, dc.thefandc.com.org.
/backslash
So EB.
Because of that, he is now the lead investigator.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I thought he was doing a great job investigating last night. I'd like to compliment him. My issue with Blue Shorts on this is that he jumped to conclusions because he got bad intel.
He interviewed one witness who had an agenda. Next thing you know,
he interviewed one guy with an agenda and then he convicted me of murder. That is not the way this system is supposed to work.
Let's not lead the jury. The trial has not started.
That's a good point.
Am I the jury? Who's the jury?
No, it's going to be the callers.
Oh, I see.
We're going to take calls to determine whether or not I was patient zero. Probably 30 minutes. Is this too long? I think we need 30 minutes of testimony with the 1 o'clock segment being the calls. Or is that way too long on that?
I think that's perfect.
I want to get to the bottom of this thing just like everybody else does.
Okay.
Not only do I want to know if it was you, and if it's not you, who? If it's not you, who is?
I could possibly give you some names.
Well, that's that should
be
part of your defense.
I don't think it's my job to convict someone else, but I'll definitely float some theories. I would love to do that. But I've got a defense plan. I'm going to come out on top here. I'm very confident in that. So that'll be at 12:30. Let's get to our Redskins stock report. Arrow trending up, arrow trending down.
I'm going to go up. Arrow trending up for, let me think about somebody, Kendall Fuller. Arrow trending up for Kendall Fuller. Here's why. He's now being talked about as a staple. He's now being talked about as a guy that, hey, we can count on this. He's played pretty darn well in the slot here as a Redskins cornerback. And he's somebody that seems to be gone from liability, microfracture surgery, bad rookie year by his own accounts to, hey, not only is he more athletic as he's settled in, but this is somebody you can count on. This is Kendall Fuller, building block, dare I say, of the Washington Redskins. Good for the young man.
Stock down.
Vernon Davis. Last few games has just not been the guy he was for much of the year. You can get by without Jordan Reed when you're getting production from the tight end position from Vern. When you're not, it gets ugly real quick, doesn't it? When this passing game's inside out, you better have a presence at tight end. He had no catches against the Giants, got shut out. Had two catches for 15 yards against the Cowboys, big problem. Had two catches for 26 yards against the Chargers. Luckily, one was the 23-yard score. Take that out of the equation, he had one catch for 3 yards. He had three catches against the Saints. You go back a few weeks before that. He has not had a Vernon Davis-esque Redskins tight end in a Jay Gruden offense kind of game since November 12th, way back at FedEx Field against the Vikings when he went 7-for-76. What's going on, Vernon? Need you, buddy. Need some catches. No more drops. 33 years old. Make a play for me.
Stock down.
Samaje Perine, after a couple hundred-yard performances where he was able to get the football because the Redskins were moving the football. It's weird. You get more carries when you have more offensive plays. It's very unusual. You can't just run the ball when it's not working. Please, someone pass that information packet to one Chris Russell. But the point is, two straight weeks averaging less than 3.2 yards per carry, got his average down to 3.6. Football Outsiders, a group of smart folks that do this analysis for a living, rated him the worst running back in the league with at least 100 carries. Not a good distinction for somebody that has a lot to prove going into year number two.
Junior Gallette. I like what I see from Junior Gallette. This is a classic example of a guy who's not getting sacks but is actually making a positive impact and influencing games when he's on the field. I would like to see him play more. Here's the problem. If you need Gallette to play more, and I'm already telling you I want Ryan Anderson to play more.
Yeah, how do you
You're
do
trying
that?
To evaluate Preston Smith, and Ryan Kerrigan's not coming off the field. What do you do? Well, the answer is you just throw them all out there on pass rushing downs and get creative, Greg Minuski. I want to see Gallette over top of the center with Kerrigan on one side and Smith on the other on passing downs. Ryan Anderson replacing Smith if you want occasionally, or Kerrigan on some running downs. If you want to spell those guys, that's fine. But I think Junior Gallette is the kind of guy who next year might be able to get back to 6.5, 7 sacks and be a good third or fourth pass rusher for a team. Is it here or not? Maybe the last three games determines that.
Stock down.
Ben Kotwicka, special teams coordinator. This is uncomfortable. The last several weeks, it hasn't gone so good on special teams, whether it's punt return for touchdown, whether it's kickoff nonsense. Now, I understand it's not easy because you got a bunch of different rotating casts of characters that don't really seem to know each other's names or where they're supposed to line up or what they're supposed to do. Or if you pick up the ball and you're out of bounds, it goes to the 40-yard line for your team, Maurice Harris, or Byron Marshall just sort of falling down and blowing out a hamstring because the blade of grass was a little bit awkward there. Point is, it hasn't looked like a good operation, this old special teams thing. And that's what you're in charge of, frankly, special teams. So your stock is going down.
Ryan Grant, you're not doing anything all that great. So don't get too excited when you hear me say something nice about Ryan Grant. But you're making the most of the limited opportunities that you are getting.
Yeah.
You had a catch against the Chargers that went for 28 yards. You had 5 catches for 76 yards against the Cowboys and a touchdown. I don't care about the one catch for 3 yards against the Giants. It was a few weeks ago. Last 2 weeks, you haven't put balls on the carpet. You're not running short of the sticks like you love to do. Those are good things. And when the offense needed a play, you were the one guy that actually made one. Granted, it was a great throw by Kirk Cousins and you were wide open. I would have liked for you to have scored and you didn't do that. But this is as close to being nice as I can be. You're catching the ball when it's thrown to you and you haven't run a 6-yard route on a 3rd and 7 in 2 weeks.
Stock down.
Bashaud Breeland. I think he's a good football player. I think Breeland's good. I also think Breeland is gone. They benched Bashaud Breeland this past week in favor of Quentin Dunbar. He was only in the game at the very end playing garbaggio time against Kellen Clements. Something happened. I don't know when it happened. I don't know when it changed course for old 26. Maybe it was last year when they got mad that Scott McLuhan and him had a heart-to-heart, and that pissed Bruce Allen off something fierce that led to a tirade where he yelled, "Hey, Bob, it's Scott McLuhan a million times." I don't know what the deal is. I just know this. He's kind of a guy that doesn't seem to be part of their plans going forward. This was a win, though. Somebody that they drafted when no one else was ready to do so. They developed him to a starter. He produced for you at least some degree, more than most fourth-rounders do. Looks like he's now, though, on the way out.
Offensive tackles, Morgan Moses and Trent Williams playing through pain. Both were great against the Chargers. Ingram and Bosa were really not heard of, frankly. It was an awesome performance, particularly by Trent Williams, who dominated Bosa a couple times. You got to check out the GIF that someone, KP, posted, and I retweeted it. It's 12 tweets down because I've got Anthony Davis giving out a car and some presents to a family, and I've got something on Nate Sudfeld maybe playing in a playoff game for the Eagles, and then I had to Joan on JP a little bit because he's not alone because Dan Le Batard received a different Big Baller brand shoe than he ordered, so there are multiple radio people getting screwed by a ridiculous company they shouldn't have put any money into. And there's also that I was watching Christmas Vacation last night. So you got to scroll down like 12 tweets.
Okay.
But you're going to get a picture, like video, I guess it is, GIF of Trent Williams throwing Joey Bosa on the ground. Thumbs up and stock up for both of the tackles that are playing through pain.
Stock down.
If your name is Terrence McGee or Terrell McClain, your stock is down. I remember it wasn't that long ago where it was like, what a heroic effort from these guys. And Ziggy Hood, they're playing good football. Anytime if you're watching the game from that kind of 50-yard line view and you have to turn your head to the right or left, depending on which way the offense is going, to find the defensive tackle, it means the play hasn't gone according to plan for you on defense. That's the case. Getting smashed off the football, running yards abound, especially in the second half of games. Little to no pressure up the middle. So it turns out that when you sign a Jag to fill in and you treat him like a starter, you get burned on that. Who would have thought that? My hand goes up. But the law firm of McGee and McClain, no thank you.
And there you go, your Redskins stock report. Who's the arrow trending up on? Who's the arrow trending down on? Am I patient zero? A case will be presented to you for and against me next. You will vote at 1 o'clock as to whether or not I made everyone sick at these here headquarters. You're listening to The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know the music. You know what it means. There's an investigation to be done. We are not making a Welcher. We are making an epidemic on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Thank you so much for listening to this program. Thank you for your time today in this very important hearing. I ask that all of you just keep an open mind until you make up your final verdict and decision at 1 o'clock when we take your calls. And by way of listener vote, we determine once and for all if I was, in fact, patient zero. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce all of the participants in today's proceedings. To my right, Danny Rouye.
Hello there.
In the room where the production goes on, producer of the Grant and Danny radio program, Brendan Darr.
Gentlemen.
Brendan.
And the other of our two producers, you know him from Crashing the Net, Tom Daly. That's great.
That's a good bit, though.
That is a good bit.
Could that be the new Thom? Like the bum bump? Because Darr's got his newsroom bit.
It should be, actually.
Like when Thom comes in, it's like, hey, Thom, a quick question for you.
I like that a lot. So here's how this all started. Here's why we got here. Here's how we got here. Over the span of the last few weeks, one by one, different members of this here radio station got sick. Little by little, one by one, they dropped like flies. At some point, Darr, what day did you miss work?
I missed work on Monday, as did Tom.
Okay.
Monday.
You came in Monday and went home Monday.
Yes.
And then you came back on Tuesday.
Yes.
So I was just going to let all this slide. I didn't really care that much. I was like, okay, you know, everyone's getting sick. It happens. It's the winter, and this is how it goes at my fiance's place of work. Everyone's sick. This is normal. So Darr comes in. He was out on Monday. He was sick, and he's a friend of mine. So the first thing that happened when I see Darr is I go up to him. I know exactly where we were. We were walking into the studio where we cut our promos, like The Rock. And I said to Darr, I said, how you feeling, buddy? Just like that.
Yep.
And Darr looked at me in a really bitchy tone, and he goes, never come into work when you're sick again. Like that. That was the exact quote from Darr.
Wow.
At which point I said, that's weird. I would never in a million years say that to someone, first of all. If I knew you made me sick, if I was 100% sure, I would never say that. Adults don't really accuse other adults of making them sick, but I thought that was weird. In the several days thereafter, I would overhear conversations between Darr and Jared at one point. Darr and the second biggest boss in the company, who also got sick, Steve Davis, at one point.
Yep, Steve Davis.
Darr and CK in CK's office at one point, where Darr was alleging that I had made everyone sick, which led to Jared, also in a very whiny way, coming up to me multiple times saying, and I quote, you're patient zero, huh? You made everyone sick?
Whoa.
I said, Jared, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, apparently you were sick and you made everyone sick. So here would be just my opening thoughts on this. First, the first thing I ever remember was CK telling me he was sick all weekend. Okay? He said, I'm really sick, so I would stay away from me.
What are the dates on that? Because I seem to remember that too.
Yeah, that was, I would say, over 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
I came in on a Monday, probably 2 Mondays ago.
Okay, that's the fourth day of December.
And CK says, whatever I got you don't want, stay away from me.
I remember okay? He was sick. I do remember that. Does everyone agree to that? With nods of head, everyone remember CK was sick a couple weeks ago? I get shaking heads. That's not agreed upon.
I don't remember that.
I thought we
now,
could stipulate that.
It has
that.
Been
I guess
confirmed
not.
By CK, who was supposed to be my star witness, by the way,
He's
who for
meeting.
Some reason is in a meeting. Thanks a lot, CK.
Unfortunate.
But he did tweet yesterday, and there is proof that he has admitted that he was sick before I ever had any issues, okay. For the record. And he even refers to himself. He's blaming himself as patient zero. I would like it noted by the jurors.
Okay.
Can I just...
I'd love it. Yeah, please.
Just one question. So you are stipulating that CK was sick on December 4th.
Is that 2 Mondays ago?
That would be. Today's the 14th. The 11th, Dar was sick a week prior. That Monday, the 4th day
Sounds
of December,
right.
Year of our Lord 2017.
Okay.
Sounds
I just wanted
about
to
right.
make sure we were clear on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know the exact date, counselor, but that sounds about right.
Very good.
Then, the next day, mm-hmm. I started to have some throat issues.
Yep.
Notice I was not ill. I was not getting sick. I was not throwing up. I didn't have any problems.
I recall the throat issues as you and I had a conversation.
I would consider I had a weak throat to the point where CK said to me, hey, why don't you come get some tea from my office?
Right.
And why don't you take some tea? So I started drinking a bunch of tea to cure my throat.
Mm-hmm.
In the days thereafter, I had some cold-like symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will admit to occasional sniffles. I will admit to a weak throat, to a cough from time to time.
Yep.
Now, I will just wrap up my opening salvo this way because I want to get everyone else involved that's waiting patiently at the microphone.
There are a lot of people.
Yes, there are. My opening salvo would just be very simply in conclusion. Tom took a day off from work and texted us about being on his deathbed, basically. He said he was, like, disgustingly ill and I've never felt like this. Okay. Dar went home from work looking like he was about to die at any moment.
Dar looked sick on Monday.
He was hobbling all over the place, like limping around the office. The symptoms I've had are a weak throat and occasionally having to go like this. Those are my symptoms. So if that made Tom take a day off from work for being violently ill, or that made Dar go home, either their threshold for being able to deal with a cold is out of control, or I didn't give them whatever they had. Those are two very different types of illnesses, because I can promise you that my throat being weak and me having the sniffles in no way would make a single person stay home from work. Zippy chance. Where would you guys like to go first?
All right, Brendan Dar.
Well, I would like you to present your evidence, and then we will respond.
Okay, I've got a lot of evidence. The first thing I'll do is I'll welcome onto the show Jason Murphy. He's a producer at NBC Sports Washington. Jason Murphy joining me now. Hello, Jason. How are you?
Hello, Grant. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I bring Jason onto the show.
Okay.
Because Jason is a guy I work with 4 times a week at NBC Sports Washington. I spend more time with Jason and Courtney Lachlan and Brent Johnson and the crew there than I do my fiance.
Okay.
And just about as much time as I do with you guys.
Yep.
Because 3 to 4 times a week, I am with them from about 3:30 in the afternoon until about midnight.
Yeah.
8 to 9 hours at a time. We have a pregame show. We watch the game together. We have a postgame show. We have more meetings than is necessary because we don't need the meetings because we know what we're going to do.
A lot of meetings.
But Jason makes us have them anyway. So that's kind of how we do this. Jason, I bring you on because I'd like you to confirm for me that Courtney at no point has gotten sick, that Luann, who's like basically lip to lip with me as she's putting on my microphone and everything and putting things up and down my shirt constantly on set, has not gotten sick, that Brent Johnson has not gotten sick at any point, that nobody involved with the show other than you getting a cold because your fiance had a cold has had any issues based on all their actions and interactions with me.
So as your star witness, your first thing is to badger me and to make fun of me for doing my job?
Yes, basically.
Wow.
Okay, copy that. Well, in that case, yes, you are correct that no one else has been sick. There have been occasional sneezes throughout the room, but no one else has really been sick other than you with your Marge Simpson voice that one day.
Right, and would you say that I was sick or that I had like a weak voice? Have I been sick to you around the office?
I have not. You have not exhibited signs of sickness.
Very
I would say you have had a throat issue.
Yep.
That sure. Some might attest to a cold, but that you have not been sneezing or blowing your nose 1,000 times a day
Has Courtney taken any time off from overtime or faceoff?
Nope. Has Brent Johnson taken any time off?
Nobody has. Has anybody said that they're getting sick? Has anyone had tissues walking around or sniveling? Any issues at all that you can tell?
No, none at all.
Can I ask Jason a question?
Please.
Jason, would you attribute, is it possible, in your medical expertise, clearly as somebody that's trained in this as an expert witness for the Grant Paulson's defense here, could it be that someone that has 7,000 jobs where they have to talk a lot all the time, could that be something that contributes to this weak throat, to this Marge Simpson voice? Well, homie, let's talk.
It seems that it could.
It could.
Shows Monday through Friday.
Because, earlier in the night, on the Marge Simpson voice night that we are speaking of, which was the first time that it really was exhibited to us, he was talking perfectly fine throughout the entire night, and then he, quote-unquote, put on his TV voice, and that's when he started having issues.
Projection. Just anytime there's energy or projection.
Just for clarification, what day was that?
That is a great question.
I know the answer.
And I do not remember.
Friday night.
What's the answer?
Saturday night, actually, because I had a radio show the next morning, remember? And you were worried about my voice.
Saturday, the 9th day of December?
In Columbus. No, the 9th?
Yeah.
No, the 2nd.
Oh.
We didn't play Saturday.
The 2nd.
Oh, dear.
Oh, was it the 2nd?
Oh, dear.
So okay. Uh-oh.
This is not an issue.
There's no Caps game on the 9th. There is one on the 2nd.
So then it was on Saturday the 2nd.
But you had said, Grant, that you had shown no signs of illness before the 2nd, or excuse me, the 4th.
No, then that just means the CK thing happened before that.
No.
Yeah.
You had entered into the record that it was December 4th.
Go back and read the record. You asked me, was it the 4th? And I said, I don't know the date. I'm assuming it's the 4th.
You said it was 2 Mondays ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago on Monday would be my assumption. That's true. I guess it was 3 Mondays ago.
This is interesting.
It's a development for sure, but it should. Again, CK has admitted he was sick and gave me tea before I ever had a throat problem. So
allow
it was just one Monday before.
Allow me to call in Chris Lingbach.
All right, Jason, thank you very much
thank
for your
you,
time, sir. I'll see you tonight.
Thank you, Jason.
Of course. Thank
Capitals
you.
Capitals face-off and then Capitals overtime scheduled for this evening.
You guys are clearly filibustering. It's 12 minutes into the segment. I'm the lead investigator.
Why don't you guys get the whole next segment? Why don't you guys get the whole next segment?
That's fair.
Is that fair?
That's fair.
With some interruptions from me as I have to clarify what's incorrect?
I would like to question, just to be clear, we said that tweets are on the table as evidence, correct?
I believe tweets are on the table as evidence.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Tweets are admissible.
That'll be interesting for sure.
The judge will allow it.
What did Chris Kynard say about being able to come on the show? Anything?
You tell me.
Unavailable.
Okay. I'd like him to be able to come on the show. Valdez is in here as well. Do you have anything, Bernie?
I'm just here, I guess, for the timeline, because I'm the latest one who's sick.
I'd also like to.
Valdez is now. Are you the latest?
Yeah, I'm the latest victim.
No, Valdez actually falls in line with Tom and I.
I have one more witness as well,
the
record.
I would also like to motion to dismiss anything Chris Kynard, our boss, who could get us all fired potentially, could contribute.
I would as well.
His evidence should be inadmissible. He holds too much sway over the participants in this trial.
Wow.
I'm sure you can just dismiss
him. Could he or could he not get us fired?
Of
yes or no?
Of course he could. Yes.
It's also convenient.
Great. Then
that
why can we accept his evidence?
The actual guy who started everything, by the way, the actual guy who is the patient zero,
he claims.
They want to just dismiss him saying, hey, by the way, I was sick well before anyone else.
Stricken from the record, inadmissible.
I think that's nonsense.
You've already clarified that you don't know his timeline.
He's also not on trial.
Here is the
timeline. This is your trial.
Yeah, I agree. And when I'm on trial, I'm pointing out that there's a guy with a gun who's saying I shot someone, and that's probably something that you should know.
He was coerced into it.
I'm sure he was coerced into it.
All right, let's break, and then the prosecution will have it.
I have one more person I'll call to the stand, as well as...
And we will take our time.
...hearing from these guys. Good. I'm looking forward to that. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. There have been a lot of people at work sick. Dar originally accused me of being the reason they all got sick. He spread this rumor around the office, to which Tom last night went on the radio and talked about it. I heard this. Started a Twitter feud that has carried over to today, where you will be the judge, ultimately. In the 1 o'clock hour, you will determine, am I patient zero? Am I the reason that everyone got sick, or is it possible that I'm not the reason. You will hear their argument.
What was that?
Oh, boy.
What?
What was that?
What was what?
What was that thing you did with your voice?
That I'm not the reason? What are you talking about? Again, nobody's saying that I don't have a weak voice. I have a weak voice. I have exhibited some cold-like symptoms. I don't think Tom stayed home on his deathbed because he had a common house cold. And if he did, that's kind of a wacky bit.
Well, I would say it's our turn to take over, so allow me. Grant, what have your symptoms been?
I have had a weak voice. I have coughed a bit. And that's about it.
Would you say you've had any congestion?
Describe congestion, please, sir.
You know what congestion is. You're an adult. I would say you've had congestion before.
You're also an adult, and you got upset at someone for making you sick at work. So sometimes adults do things that children do.
Stuffiness.
I need you to explain congestion.
Stuffy nose.
Okay.
Runny nose.
Stuffy nose, no. Have not had a stuffy nose. I would say I've had a runny nose at times. Not different than normal, but occasionally I've had to blow my nose. Sure.
Phlegm in the chest.
No phlegm in the chest. No phlegm.
So no, like, coughing that would produce any...
No, like a wet cough. I wish I had a wet cough because it would be better than the dry cough that I've had from time to time.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to allow Chris Lingbach to take the floor.
Who is, of course, the unbiased lead investigator.
Sure, he's
unbiased. No, he is. He's doing this because we at 106.7 The Fan like getting to the bottom of things and telling the truth in the story. So that's why we assigned him lead investigator.
Since December 1st, the day after the Dallas Cowboys Washington Redskins game, This was the claim of Brendan Dar that this was the day Grant Paulson showed up to work sick. Now, since that day, here are all the employees and one non-employee who have fallen ill. Since that day, Jason Bishop, Tom Daly, who took a sick day. I wish others would do the same. Brendan Dar.
Music gets me.
Mrs. Dar. Funny Danny.
Yeah.
Chris Kinard, Jim Mullins, Drab T-shirt, Matt Valdez. All sick since December 1st. The date that Brendan Dar says Grant Paulson came into work sick and refused to take a sick day.
May I ask a question, counselor?
Sure.
Thank you. When you say sick, are all of these people dealing with cold-like symptoms or are they ill? Because CK stayed home and yesterday.
Already discussed that. Inadmissible.
No, I understand.
The fact that he stayed home is admissible.
I'd like to know.
Inadmissible.
As an example, when Tom stayed home from work, dying as he texted us, it felt like, was that because you were blowing your nose and you were coughing, or were you actually sick?
No, I had chest congestion. I had a terrible fever. My body temperature was going up and down. Mm. No, that's what it was.
Okay. So that sounds like the illness that CK had, not the illness that I had.
CK had food poisoning this time around.
Oh, very interesting. Okay. Oh.
So that's something that's contagious, is what you're saying, Dar.
Correct.
Well, okay. While we're talking about what CK
very
claimed.
Very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting also that CK said he had a fever a few weeks ago when he originally got sick. But continue.
Very interesting that I just tweeted out Exhibit A of my testimony. It is audio from my car last night of Grant Paulson conducting a read for EMP 180. And he clearly... sounds sick. Clearly sounds sick.
Keep you hungry to lose more. Go to EMP180weightloss.com. That's EMP180weightloss.
Now, does that sound like a healthy man or a sick man?
I would say that sounds like someone whose voice is strained.
Yeah, it sounds like someone who might have some cold-like symptoms.
Sounds like someone who might maybe have gone to a doctor or should go to a doctor and get that sickness addressed. Yes or no?
No.
So,
what world
you're
do we
just
live
fine
you
with
in?
Your voice being that way for the rest of your life. You should never seek medical advice.
No, but those things come and they go, and as it's the case now.
But
it's
they haven't gone. They've stayed since December 1st.
No, I sound
know
a lot
how
better.
I would put it to the
listeners.
Go?
I would put it to the listeners, the jury, to go back and listen to the audio from the past 12 days and question whether or not they are listening to a healthy man. The evidence is there for you to find it. You guys all clearly have listeners. Just look at the ratings. Is he a healthy man? That is the question that I asked you, the jury.
Do we know, folks? I'm sorry to interrupt. Do we know that was recorded on December 1st?
That was recorded on December 7th.
By the way.
So 6 days.
Right.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not on trial for whether or not I'm sick.
So now we're
sick,
talking about clearly, we've
well,
clearly
denied
exhibited
you
that
were sick.
I deny that I'm sick. I had a head cold symptoms at times. I had a weak throat. I'm on trial for whether or not I was the original carrier and I made everyone sick.
Well, but then, so thereby proving you would need, we need to determine your sickness
if
that is a thing, whether then the positive or negative.
Here's
to
a
make
question
sure
I have for Matt Valdez. Matt Valdez is here as well. Matty, I'm curious.
Very patient, Matt Valdez.
What are your symptoms?
It started on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I had a terribly sore throat, so much that I went to a Minute Clinic and got a strep throat test. I was actually praying for strep throat. So I didn't have to show up for the whole week because I have off the next week.
Right.
So I was hoping to
silly 2 weeks.
I was just trying to milk 2 weeks out of it. And they said I didn't have strep, but it was coming from my sinuses. So that Monday and Tuesday, I started feeling the pressure around my sinuses on my face. I was having congestion in my nose. I was having drippage in the back of my throat.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of coughing. Some phlegm.
Do you feel like if you got
throat.
This from me, shouldn't my throat have hurt at some point?
Does your throat not hurt? You can't speak.
My throat has not hurt at any point.
I would say.
You said throat earlier in the segment.
Yes. My throat was. What it sounds weak.
So your throat
weak.
Doesn't hurt, but your throat is weak.
Yes. Like when you talk and it sounds weird. That's what I'm talking about.
How did you.
There's never been pain.
Time out. How did you address your throat feeling weak?
Drank a lot of tea, ate some Lifesavers.
Has it worked?
So
yeah.
No, it hasn't.
You ate Lifesavers to...
Well, just like a candy when you know to get the saliva going.
So you ate candy to fix your throat.
Essentially, that and a lot of hot tea while I was on the radio.
And did you ever go to the doctor?
I went to the doctor yesterday, yes.
Interesting.
And what were the results of the doctor visit?
I went to the doctor not for this illness. I went to the doctor subsequently because I need to get my medication for vitamin D being low.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So you have a low vitamin D
level.
D.
I like the Valdez laughs. I got low vitamin D. I'm sorry.
So you claim that you had a head cold.
Yeah.
And the symptoms of a head cold are a stuffy or runny nose,
mm-hmm.
sneezing, sore throat, weak voice, cough, low-grade fever, and just a general feeling of ill.
Okay, I had some of those
you
things.
You check a lot of those. That sounds like
you check a lot of those boxes.
Yeah, I had some of those things. As I
which,
said, I think I had a head cold.
Is what Matt Valdez had.
He does.
Which is what Tom Daley had.
I think Tom had worse than that. You don't stay home for a head cold.
That's what I had.
Okay. No, if you had a head cold, you dealt with it really badly. You left here like you'd been shot in the back.
This is his sort of secondary accusation here.
Right. Which is fine because my main accusation is he doesn't take care of him.
We got to continue this.
Do we?
We do.
I want closure.
I'd like to get to the verdict.
I would like to be able to speak, and so would Tom, and so would Shorts.
And we also have a witness that you have brought that has not spoken yet. We need to at least extend this one segment.
We'll do one more segment, and then we got to put a bow on it. And I still have the most damaging evidence against your case yet to present. So that'll happen next. And at 1:15, prepare your verdicts, ladies and gentlemen. Keep an open mind. There's still a few more minutes of testimony. Am I patient zero is the question. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.